Before we get started with this episode, I want to share something that I think could be a game changer for your classroom. Now, as a former special education teacher, one of the things I struggled with the most was creating activities, resources, and curriculum for my classroom. I did not realize that that was part of my job. I have spent the last 10 years developing the Autism Helper curriculum based on what was missing from my former classroom. And now we finally have a way for school districts to purchase this curriculum directly for their teachers. The Autism Helper Curriculum Access is an annual subscription that provides access to all levels and subjects of our curriculum. This curriculum is rooted in evidence-based practices, it's aligned to the standards, and we just completed our pilot case study showing the overall effectiveness. To learn more about how your district can get curriculum access, head over to theautismhelper.com and click Curriculum Access. Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Before we get started with this episode, I want to share something that I think could be a game changer for your classroom. Now, as a former special education teacher, one of the things I struggled with the most was creating activities, resources, and curriculum for my classroom. I did not realize that that was part of my job. I have spent the last 10 years developing the Autism Helper curriculum based on what was missing from my former classroom. And now we finally have a way for school districts to purchase this curriculum directly for their teachers. The Autism Helper Curriculum Access is an annual subscription that provides access to all levels and subjects of our curriculum. This curriculum is rooted in evidence-based practices, it's aligned to the standards, and we just completed our pilot case study showing the overall effectiveness. To learn more about how your district can get curriculum access, head over to theautismhelper.com and click Curriculum Access.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
Let's talk about de-escalation. I have to say, as a young teacher, I read every book, read every blog article I could kind of get my hands on about reducing negative behaviors. And I really struggled because everything was really, really focused on how to prevent problem behavior, which now I know that's super important. I just did a podcast episode on 10 ways to reduce problem behaviors. But my worry and my big concern was always like, okay, cool. But like, what if the problem behavior happens? Like, what do I do then? Because believe me, I had a lot of problem behaviors happening in my classroom. And I was worried that I wasn't responding in a way that was effective. I didn't know how to safely de-escalate. And I was, you know, really concerned I wasn't doing kind of the right thing when problem behaviors happen. Am I reinforcing the problem behavior? Am I letting the child calm down? I was really in my head. And I felt very unconfident in how I was supporting kids when big behaviors happen. So let's talk about this. Tantrums, meltdowns, crisis, episode, whatever it is. Some type of big episode of behavior. We've all been there, right? As the parent, the clinician, the educator that is supporting that child, right? Those are the hardest days for you. They're the hardest days for the child as well. And let's talk today about how we can support a child through this meltdown or this tantrum and really get them through to the other end in a way that doesn't break rapport, in a way that keeps them and you safe, and in a way that can really still help you continue on with your behavior plans. In my new course, The Practical Behavior Approach, I have an entire module on how to respond when problem behaviors happen because, like I said, I was kind of frustrated as a young teacher, like, okay, but I need to know what to do in the moment. What do we do here when behaviors happen? So in this course, I go through de-escalation, I go through setting boundaries, power struggles, logical consequences, all these great things that we can do to effectively respond when problem behavior happens. Today in this episode, let's specifically talk about de-escalation and when these extreme behaviors happen. So when a child is in a meltdown and there's a crisis situation, this is really showing dysregulation, right? Dysregulation happens when emotions overwhelm our current coping skills. Remember, during childhood, that prefrontal cortex of the brain, where executive functions and emotional control live, is still developing. Our kids just don't have the skills yet to regulate themselves in challenging situations. And that's often what happens when there is a tantrum or some type of big meltdown. This is common for a lot of kids with autism, with ADHD, with oppositional defiance disorder. We see these big explosive behaviors happening. When these big behaviors happen, I want you to always remember that the goal is to safely get through the episode. That's really it, honestly. The secondary goal is that you should reflect and add in additional supports to prevent this in the future. But in that main moment, your goal is to safely get through the episode. Your goal is not to hold the line. Your goal is not to like use extinction. Your goal is not to not reinforce the behavior, you know, show them. Your goal is not to teach even, because that child is not in the place where they are ready to learn. They are in crisis mode. Their body might be in fight or flight. Their body is not receptive to learning or maybe even directions at that point. When our kids are upset and overwhelmed and in a crisis mode, that is when they need us the most. So the message we really want to send to them is, I am here for you. Even on your worst days, I am here for you. And we can do that while still setting limits and while still maintaining safety, but we always want to be communicating that I'm here. And I know that's hard. If you have extreme behaviors that are happening every day, the burnout factor is so real. The frustration that you are feeling is so real. And it's hard to still be able to communicate that to a child. But remember that that's what's going to get you through to the other end, and that's what's going to help prevent these in the future. So once behaviors have escalated and that child's kind of in that threat state, remember, they're not processing words right now. They're not understanding cause and effect. Our goal then is to continue to maintain boundaries and to start strategies for de-escalation. That's it. That's all we're doing. Get through this safely. Help the child de-escalate. So let's go through the steps for de-escalation. I have been getting Factor meals delivered for probably a few years now, and when I first discovered these, they were really a game changer. They are fresh meals that get delivered right to my house, pop them in the microwave, and 2 minutes later, I have a healthy, protein-packed lunch all ready to go. I'm like, where were these when I was in the classroom? I like how there's so many different options, so I never get bored, and that I'm eating healthy without having to do a whole ton of cooking. If you are looking to eat healthier, to do takeout less, or to just have something taken off of your plate mentally, having your lunches or dinners set up ready to go, I highly suggest checking out Factor. It's what I have tried, and I really think you would love it too. Head over to factormeals.com/Sasha50off and use code Sasha50off to get 50% off your first Factor box. If you're ready to try this, this is such a great deal. Get 50% off your first Factor box plus free breakfast for a year. Love that. Make healthy easier with Factor. And actually, before we get to the steps for de-escalation, the first step, the pre-step, is you have to control your own behavior first. An escalated adult will not help an escalated child. We need to get our mindset right. We need to be in control. We need to be calm. This is actually part of our de-escalation strategy we're going to talk in a second. We need to model calmness because that will help our child de-escalate. If we are in crisis mode too, we're going to have just like two meltdowns happening simultaneously. So the first step is get our own behaviors under control. So let's give an overview of how we de-escalate. First, we remove the audience. I don't know how many times, guys, I have been pulled into a behavior crisis and there are like six adults around the child. And I'm always like, my first thought, like to this day, is I'm always like, who's watching the rest of the class? Like, who are all you people? Like we're short-staffed until there's a meltdown, right? People are like the lunchroom manager's there, like a parent volunteer from down the hall's getting involved. Like, everyone's there. And it's like, oh my God. Get away. And those people are well-meaning, right? They just want to help. But I'm like, also get away, right? Remove the audience, right? For a lot of kids too, this can be a source of embarrassment and shame later. So remove the audience. It can contribute to escalating the behavior. It can contribute to reinforcing the behavior. So only get who needs to be there. Let them remain and get everyone else out of there. If you've been stuck on a six-month wait list for a psychiatrist or bouncing between online mental health sites trying to find the right medication support, Talkiatry was built for you. It's a virtual psychiatric practice that actually fits your life and your insurance. Talkiatry is a 100% online psychiatric practice that provides comprehensive evaluations, diagnoses, and ongoing medication management. Unlike therapy-only sites, Talkiatry is psychiatry. That means that you'll be seeing a medical provider who can diagnose mental health conditions and prescribe medication when appropriate. All of their over 600 clinicians are in network with major insurers, so you can use your existing insurance instead of paying monthly out-of-pocket subscriptions or those out-of-network fees. Head to talkiatry.com/Sasha and complete the short assessment to get matched with an in-network psychiatrist in just a few minutes. That's talkiatry.com/Sasha to get matched in minutes. I have been getting Factor meals delivered for probably a few years now, and when I first discovered these, they were really a game changer. They are fresh meals that get delivered right to my house, pop them in the microwave, and 2 minutes later, I have a healthy, protein-packed lunch all ready to go. I'm like, where were these when I was in the classroom? I like how there's so many different options, so I never get bored, and that I'm eating healthy without having to do a whole ton of cooking. If you are looking to eat healthier, to do takeout less, or to just have something taken off of your plate mentally, having your lunches or dinners set up ready to go, I highly suggest checking out Factor. It's what I have tried, and I really think you would love it too. Head over to factormeals.com/Sasha50off and use code Sasha50off to get 50% off your first Factor box. If you're ready to try this, this is such a great deal. Get 50% off your first Factor box plus free breakfast for a year. Love that. Make healthy easier with Factor. The second piece is give that child space and keep them safe. So that like one and two really go kind of nicely together. If you have a calm down area that has like soft mats or, you know, kind of padding on the wall, that's great. But if you can't safely get them there, then don't. Just give them space. And that means don't talk to them. Just be nearby. And make sure that they're not, you know, banging their head onto the floor. Obviously, follow any crisis protocol, whether you use safety care, or PCM, or CPI. Those are all different restraint methods that you can get certified in. All of those methodologies focus on a preventative method first, but they also teach how to safely, you know, in a crisis, make sure that child doesn't hurt themselves or others. But in this second step, you're just going to be nearby and make sure the child doesn't hurt himself or others, but do nothing else. And that's hard. I mean, I'm a talker. I mean, like, I have a podcast here. Like, I talk and I am ready to, like, jump in and fix it. Like, I think we're all problem solvers too. We want to, like, help our kids. And I think sometimes we come in with verbal support too quickly, and that contributes to escalating the behavior or just doesn't allow the behavior to de-escalate. So number two, give them time, give them space while keeping them safe. Number three, now this strategy happens after we've seen a little bit of de-escalation, meaning maybe the child hasn't lunged at anyone, the child stopped screaming, the child stayed in one spot. We're seeing some type of de-escalation happen. They're not de-escalated yet, but we're moving in the right direction. Now we can move in with strategy three, which is offer coping strategy options. We're going to use choices. We're going to lean on visuals, whether that's written cues, picture cues, photo cues, and we're going to give some options for ways to cope and calm down. Things that are good coping strategies could be going on a walk, getting a drink of water, using deep breathing, a fidget, bouncing on a ball, writing, journaling for some kids can be a good coping strategy. So those are some options that you can give, but it has to be with choices, right? When I'm really, really mad, I don't want someone to tell me how to calm down, right? Like if someone's like, oh, you're super angry, you know what make you feel better? Go running. Well, if you guys know me, you know I hate running, right? I'd be like, no, I don't want to go running. Right? Someone's like, oh, go get a drink. You're like, I'm not thirsty. Leave me alone. Like you have to give choices here for this to be successful. And because our kids may still be in that like crisis, threat state, verbal language, we don't want to really lean on too much. So visuals, whether that's words or pictures, to give those options for coping strategies. Number four, divert or distract. This is where we kind of give our kids an out. Like, how does this end? Like, what are we doing here? It doesn't need to end on an apology. It doesn't need to end on, you know, let's go back and right in this moment, pick up the seven boxes of puzzles that you've thrown. That could be an option down the line. That's a great logical consequence to use. But while we're still somewhat escalated, give that distraction, right? Give them an out. Be like, hey, you know what? Did I show you yet the new things I put in the sensory bin? Maybe we should go look at that. Or just something totally random. Like, hey, you know what I had for breakfast? I had oatmeal. What did you have? It should be something neutral. It's not a demand. It's just something to like get them thinking about something else instead of the state they're in. It can be showing them something. It can be bringing over a toy or an activity. It should not be aversive. It should not be high expectations. Something that's really just a distraction and diversion to get them out of this state. And then the last step is to repair. We want repair to happen when the child is fully de-escalated. I think this is also a common misstep that we go to repair too quickly when the child's still escalated and then we kind of go back to meltdown mode. Repair needs to happen later. It might be the next day even. If it's appropriate, talking about the child, about what, you know, happened, how you can support them differently, how we can prevent this in the future. We want to repair. You want to tell them you're not mad at them and that their feelings are valid. Being angry, frustrated, upset, all that's valid. How you respond to those emotions, we need to work on, right? But those feelings they're having are absolutely valid. That's all about emotional regulation. I'm going to do a podcast episode on that too. So much comes back to emotional regulation, but we want to validate those feelings. Say that I'm still here for you. I'm not mad at you. It was the behavior that was the problem, not you. Especially for our kids with a history of trauma, that's a really, really important message to send. So the repair is the last step, but it doesn't happen right in that moment. It can happen later. All right, that was my big picture overview of de-escalation. I did it in less than 15 minutes. De-escalation is such an important tool to have in your toolbox when it comes to effectively reducing problem behaviors. You want to respond effectively when crises happen, when meltdowns happen, keep everyone safe, and also not completely ruin rapport and relationships that you've established with your students. Within my new course, The Practical Behavior Approach, we go really in depth into this. As I said, there's a whole module on responsive interventions with a whole lesson on de-escalation with lots of resources and really, really cool downloads included. So if you're interested in learning more on that, definitely check that out. But be always on the lookout for these responsive strategies. The proactive ones for sure are great. That's where we want to lean. But we also need to know how to respond in an effective way when these big behaviors do happen.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
Ever see an idea so clearly in your head, but struggle to make it real? We've all been there. With Wix, you can build a website for your business just the way you pictured it. Get the best of both worlds with AI and drag and drop tools all in one place. Stay in your creative flow and use AI when you want, how you want. Create a website your way. Try it out at Wix.com.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.